trust. And thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Father, indeed, we call to you as a God who is in charge of the storm. And there are some of us who are in storms. There are some of us who have been battered and beaten about by the storms, whether they be economic, whether they be family-wise or health-wise. We have been rolling and tumbling on some issues. But Lord, you are greater than any storm and any circumstance and every situation. Your word tells us, call upon me that I may answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And so today, Lord, we seek to call. We call from the depths of where we find ourselves. We call because we know that your ear is not to hear to death that you cannot hear, or your arm too short that you cannot save. You will meet us right where you are and draw us, Lord. And so, Father, even now we just call upon you. We pray that you may meet us in those places. Some of us have been in some circumstances and situations just this past week. God, you have been gradually moving us and pulling and tugging us and lifting us to new places. I pray, God, that you help us to keep our eyes on you and not on our circumstances, because you are yet greater. Pray, Lord, that for every circumstance, for the illness, Lord, the whatever sickness that there may be, whatever diagnosis that we may have received, Lord God, that you may help us to understand that you are still the balm in Gilead. You are still the great physician. And even though we do not see things rolling the way that we would like it to roll, God, you said to us to trust your heart. Trust your heart even when we don't see your hand, because you are beautiful for every situation. Because you are great and greatly to be praised. Father, I pray that you visit families. I pray that you visit homes, Lord Jesus. You surround us and encapsulate us with your love and with your power and with your grace, Lord. I pray that your presence continue to be rich in this place, and that you may minister to the various places of our hearts. Some of us have come this morning and there is something going on the inside, God, that only you know about. And Father, I pray that you may help them to be able to expose themselves to you so that you can meet them there and cause them to know this may be a big thing for us, but it is not so much for you. Because your word says, is anything too hard for you, mighty God? So Jesus, we roll our issues at the foot of the cross. We say, God, take them and take us with them, so that we are no longer our own, but we are yours. So that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Father, you promise that you'll watch over our bread and our water. You promise that you'll enlarge our steps beneath us. God, we walk into those promises. We walk into them, Lord God. We pray even now for all of our students who are doing exams, Lord Jesus. We ask for grace. We ask for favor. We ask, Lord, that you increase their intellectual capacity, their recall capacity, Lord, so that they will do well on these tests, Lord God, that they will be the head and not the tail. God, we speak prosperity. We speak favor for them, Lord. We thank you that you will help them. And we thank you for those who you have helped already. God, we just bless you. We honor you. Continue to look down upon us as we serve you in this part of the vineyard, as we seek to be your hands extended, as you seek to shine light in darkness. Lord, cause our lights to shine brightly so that we may represent you adequately in the world. We remember all kinds of persons who we may know even now who are sick in hospital, people with all kinds of ailments. Lord, it may be bad, but God, you are well able. We call their names before you. We call situations before you. We say, God, restore, heal, deliver, set free. You are able, God. You're well able. And even as we sit in this place and your word is about to be declared, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the middle cross so that you alone are seen. Your word declared And Lord, speak your word into the hearts of your people. Remove anything that may distract even now. And let the glory and the honor and the praise go to you. Truly we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, sisters and brothers, I wish to share with us for a little while on Psalm 33. We are in Family Month, and I want to just focus our attention on some things that are necessary to build strong families. From time to time, we need to go back there and remind ourselves of those germane issues that we need to have if we are to build strong families, whether that is as individual blood relatives or as persons who are in the family of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. I want us to read together these three verses. It's not very long, from Psalm 133. Let us read, please. No. 133. Yes, let's go. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. It is said that David may have penned this psalm when he was able for the first time to bring all of Jerusalem together in one place. When David became king, Israel was scattered. They were in their tribes, Zebulun, Judah, Naphtali, Issachar, all of them, Benjamin. They were in their tribes and they were never meeting together as one people. But as he became king, one of his desires and what the Lord laid on his heart was to make Israel one nation under one king. And so when he finally was able to get everybody to come to Jerusalem to worship God, it was for him an accomplishment. And he wrote the psalm, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the Lord. You cannot escape the excitement that you almost, when you read in the text, that comes about. You can't miss the fact that there is some level of excitement. Behold how good and how pleasant. You don't use the word good and pleasant together unless you're trying to evoke some great amount of excitement. When something is good, it is right, it is proper. When something is pleasant, it says that it is delightful, it is exciting, it brings joy to the heart. And so he was saying how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I believe that all of us share that. I like family get-togethers. We have a little family get-together. Every New Year's Day, we gather together. We play domino, chat, tripping this. Remember this. Who wear your shirt when you turn your back? You go out, you reach down the road and see somebody in your shirt, your brother in your shirt. Why you have on my shirt? Those, when you go through those stories and you reminisce of all the things that used to happen, it's a good time when families get together, when families reminisce, when families begin to talk about all the things that they went through that brought them to this particular point. I'm sure you like it too. I like to see families get together. I love to see when, you know, a husband and wife couple together and they're laughing and chatting with one another. You know, they nod, you see that, and they laugh, and you, little joke is only between them. It seems to suggest that they are on good terms, that their relationship is in a good place. You know, sometimes you see people driving in the same car, but somebody looking so and somebody looking the other way. Nobody really mind, nobody business. It's like, sometimes persons sit together for the entire night, and they don't say anything together. They don't say anything, and it suggests that there isn't a freeness of communication. But I like when I see
families. I like when brothers get together or sisters get together and they see one another and you see the expression on their face. I am glad to see you. It's a wonderful thing. And that's what David was talking about. It is good, it is pleasant when brethren get together in the Lord. And the brethren here, the term brethren, is not just blood relatives. It is people who are connected by some things that are common. People who worship together. People who live in the same community. People who have the same religious beliefs. People who subscribe to the same principles. When brethren get together, it is a good and pleasant thing. And I believe that we all like that. But the reality is, sisters and brothers, as much as we like those things, we find that it doesn't always happen. In fact, David goes on and David says, it is like, he talks about this dwelling together, this unity in families, the body of, as the anointing oil being poured down on the head of Aaron that comes to his beard and goes to his breastplate and ends up down at the fringes of his garment. It was, you know, normally when we pray for people and we anoint them, we put the oil in our hand and we sort of dot them with the oil. It wasn't that. It was opening the whole thing and douse it on his head. And he says, I'm going to give you good because I am pouring this oil to cover you. You are to be subsumed in it because the oil speaks of the anointing and the enabling of God. The oil speaks of the empowerment of God to do particular work. So he speaks of this. He says, it's like the oil that flows from the head all the way down to the fringe. But he doesn't stop there. He goes now and he talks about the dew of Hermon. Now, when we talk about dew, we mean, you know, you see, as we say, old people say, drew fall last night. But our geography teacher, Mr. James, said, drew didn't fall, drew form. Thank God for geography teachers like Mr. James. You're going to, right. So, when you hear that, first of all, I mean, drew don't fall. How come the dew come? But we understand by just, you know, the matters of the atmosphere, it is formed on the plant. But it is not that kind of dew it is talking about. The dew was a reference to melting snow. Because in those days, the mountains that were high up had the snow on top of them. But in the summer months, the snow would melt away. And the snow would come on and water the earth. And we know because you know how it dry nowadays. And every time look a rain come, people say, Lord, send a little more. You know, your cistern empty. The plants need some little sustenance. You know, we know what it is. When that rain comes, it is refreshing. It is renewing. It is revitalizing. And that is what David was trying to capture when he says, it's like the dew of Hermon. When brothers and sisters, when brethren get together, it is refreshing. It's enlightening. It's encouraging. It helps persons to grow. It helps them to become more of what they ought to be. And we all like it. It's a nice thing when your even classmates get together and we start remembering some teachers and some things that happen and how we get licks and they send you down home and all kind of things and how you manage to dodge somebody and so on and so on and so forth. All those old stories, wonderful things. We like it, but the reality, the question is, why is it we don't have more of it? If it is such a good thing, why is it we are not dwelling in unity? If we so much love our families, if we so much love to be with people, why is it we seem to be more covered in confusion, more covered with trouble and division than we are with unity? I want us to point. I want to point us to one more passage of scripture, and this is from Genesis chapter 11. It's the story of Babel. If you can pull that up very quickly, and I just want us to read verse 4. And the reality is, this, remember the story of Babel, when the people were all together, they were as one man, the Bible tells us, and then they were saying, we're going to build a city, and we're going to build a tower whose height is in the skies, and we're going to do some other things. And God saw them, and God came down. And verse 4 says, if you'll read with me, and they said, go to. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Hear that, sisters and brothers. Hear the intent there. We are going to build a city. Nothing wrong with a city. It's a good thing to live in a city. And in those days, your cities were surrounded with walls. Yes, we are going to build a tower. A tower is a good thing because it helps you to get up high. You see who is coming from a distance. But the reality is, they did not have the right motives. Their motives were faulty. They didn't want to build for build's sake. They wanted to build to make a name for themselves. It's more like people want to make sure that there's a memorial to them. More like people who want to make sure that, listen, I do. So when you say thanks, you need to make sure you say thanks to me. Because if it wasn't for me, it wouldn't happen. And we have too many people who are in that kind of position. I am doing, and make sure you notice that I did, so that when you say thanks and when you're going to give out things, you give me first because I did more than them. But the reality is, sisters and brothers, if you're doing to get, if you're doing for recognition, then you find yourself in the same place where these people were. And the verse 5 tells us that God came down and said, these people are one, and if we don't trouble them, they are going to cause some problems. And God decided, I'm going to mash up the plan. I'm going to divide their speech. Because when they can't understand one another, when they speak a different language, and sometimes that different language is not just in terms of an established language. Sometimes the language is in terms of the philosophy or the principles that we adhere to. Sometimes we speak different language than people we are around. And if we speak a different language, sisters and brothers, can't work. At some point, somebody needs to say, I'm going to hush my mouth so you can speak. I'm going to hush my mouth. I'm going to learn your language, because if we speak different languages, we're going to have confusion. And God confused their language and mash up the thing right there, my sisters and brothers, because God recognized that these people were united as one, but they were up to no good. Unity is key, my sisters and brothers. And sometimes what happens, we find it easier to unite on evil than on good. You make somebody say, I'm making it. My child doing well in school and so forth, studying hard and get a nice job or something begin to happen. And then two people or three people who don't like them start talking them back. You know me, Sishi, last night? You know what he do? You know what he say? We have all these kinds of things, because what we are doing is that we see one person get along, going among, and even though we don't really like each other, we have a common enemy. And so we collude to bring other people down. We gang up on other people. My sisters and brothers, when we what was happening in the text is that they were saying, we want to bring down these things. I challenge us, my sisters and brothers, to move away from that kind of position. These people were united for the wrong person. You know, sometimes people say politics will make odd bedfellows or something like that. You have two political parties who are bitterly fighting one another, but because none of them win, they join up together to get the other one out. And they do them things, even though history has shown it don't last. We can join up because we don't want you. But we've got to determine we are going to join for good and support good. We are going to link our hands together for the work of the Lord. These people who were joined together as one were determined that we are going to act against God. It was an act of defiance to the living God. They were motivated by pride and greed and power and selfishness and self-glory rather than the glory of the Lord. They were determined, we want to live our lives not without reference to God. In fact, we're making a mountain going up there. We're going to go in front of God and say, look, you see, we're here. How foolish. How foolish. It was an act of defiance. And God determined, I see you. I see you long before you see me. And I'm going to deal with you. You know, there are times we just got to leave some things to the Lord. Sometimes we want God to do something right now. We want him to act on our behalf right now. But many times just say, God, I'm putting it in your hand. I'm putting it down and left it there. Because you are the God. Because you're the one that is able to do great things. They were unified for evil purposes, and God would have none of it. Their actions came, my sisters and brothers, from a defective heart. The actions, remember the Bible says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles that man or that woman. It's what comes out that defiles. And the actions that they were saying suggest, the actions that they were doing suggest that their hearts were not right. Can I put it in plain old language? They were just bad-minded people. As we look around, we look around at our relationships in our community, in our homes, and even in church. Bad-mindedness and bad-minded people are always jumping in. You're trying to do something good. You're trying to come to church. You're trying to live your life right. And people start, our share play. Our ear play. Who you think it be? And we come up with all kinds of things to discourage. Somebody comes up because they want to be in the house of the Lord. Say, listen, I've given my life doing all kinds of things. I'm now coming to church. People are cussing them. Oh, I'm to you. You're sick. You know, like, what's the story? And it's about time that we move away from those positions and determine them kind of bad-mindedness are not going to be a part of our lives. Find what happens. Very few people operate out of pure motives. Very few. And sometimes, even when it is not clear, somebody have a motive somewhere. Somebody has an agenda. That's why I'm so afraid of these political things, because people are always trying to get you into something, trying to get you to support their cause. And then after you support their cause, then they trying to get something for themselves, and you get left out in the ranks. We seem sometimes, sisters and brothers, to be holding on to our own way. You know, we are part of an institution. We are part of an organization. And people decide, this is what we are going to do. This is how we are going to do it. And because we don't agree with what they say they're going to do, we determine that. You ever been to a meeting, and the meeting, we voted, everybody decided, the majority won, and people come out to the meeting and say, well, they can't go on, but not me. So after you meeting by yourself, you're in a group by yourself, or you're in a group with everybody else. And we are developing the mentality of that individuality that says, I am me. And I don't go along with anything that I don't particularly subscribe to or I don't particularly agree with. But I'm saying to our sisters and brothers, God has called it. God calls us to be a part of something. We've got to follow the lead. We tend not, we have leaders, whether it's at work or other places, they want us to do so and so. We say, not me. Well, if you want to do your own thing, do your own thing, but do that by your house. Sometimes we have that kind of rebellious spirit in church. People come to church and church is doing something, say, me not involved in that, or in the business that. We pick and choose what we are part of, and what we are doing is creating division rather than building unity, rather than building harmony in the body. We are creating divisions, and divisions serve no other purpose but the enemy's purpose. So whether we think so or not, we're working for the enemy rather than working for God. But God is calling us, my sisters and brothers. God is calling us in this time and season to determine that we will not live in a divided house, because a divided house is a house divided against itself shall fall. We have many broken homes, broken lives, broken churches because of that own way kind of mentality. Husbands and wives will decide, well, I'm not cooperating with you. You want? Go ahead. Sometimes you have families, a decision has to be made, and a husband who is the head of the house makes a decision, and the wife say, well, me not support that, so you're on your own. Can't work. It's not God's plan. A decision has to be made. And if a decision is made, say, I don't agree, but we're on the same team. And so I have to stand with you. And we need a kind of spirit that binds us together. It's not everything that somebody does, even a husband or a wife, that you'll agree with. And it has to be so. Because if you agree with everything they do, one of you is unnecessary. You bring nothing new to the table. There has to be disagreement. We have to have various perspectives when we look at things. But when we look at them from a different perspective, still we say, you in charge. If you're in charge, the way you're supposed to do, and I will follow you. When you look back, I'll be right there with you. If you're going to have unity in your house where you live, if we can have unity in this house where you come to worship, if we can have unity in our communities where we live, we've got to follow leadership. We've got to get to the place of determine, I just don't want my own way. I am going to follow the leader. If I'm a part of this, I must respond to the person who is leading. In this family month, my sisters and brothers, we need a new paradigm. We need a new shift. We need to shift away from selfishness. We need to shift away from my own way mentality to a more selfless mentality that says, I am not just my own. I belong to God. We need to migrate from wanting our own way to wanting God's way. We need to move from being masters of our own destiny to being servants of the plan of God. It's time to choose a new heart so we can get rid of the defective heart. Because our defective hearts have caused us to roll on our brethren who we should be dwelling in unity with. As they turn their back, we say something that's not so nice about them. Sometimes we just shut our mouths. Just not say nothing. Just keep quiet. I don't think that we have to say something to bring a belittling something in the mix. And you know how we go sometimes. We don't say nothing, but our expression alone is a whole book. The question is, how do we get to that place? How do we get where we transfer our defective hearts for clean hearts? How do we build unity? How do we pursue unity in the body of Christ, in your own homes, wherever you find yourself? How do we do that? You know, one of the scriptures I like the story of David and Bathsheba. Powerful story. But in Psalm 51, when David was found out and David wrote that psalm, he said, Lord God, forgive me. He said, wash me and cleanse me and purify me. He was saying, God, I have some issues. But in verse 10, he says, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We know the verse, but back up a little bit. If you read the text, earlier he says, God, forgive me. Wash me with hyssop and do all this kind of thing. But he comes to the place and says, God, you know the problem, what is? My heart is bad. I don't want you to just clean this one up. I want you to create a new heart for me. I want you, God, to do a work on the inside that is a creative work. The word that is used there to create in me is the same word when in Genesis, and God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, he was saying, God, don't just wash this off. Don't just clean this one up. God, I need a new heart. I need you, Lord, to frame and to fashion something new on the inside of me. This is what Jacob also had. We know Jacob's story. Jacob was a man who consistently undermined. His name meant schemer. He was a man who kept doing the wrong things. He had a defective heart. He had a heart that was bad. He was bad-minded to the core, even though the blessing of the Lord was on his life. Nobody met Jacob and left the same. Jacob had to pull a fast one. And I hope that there are none of us who are like that in this place, that every time we have an encounter, things get rough, we step up and we do some things that we are ashamed of. But the reality is, sisters and brothers, Jacob came face to face with himself one day. He was going to meet his brother, and he said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He was not asking for more things. And the problem that some of us have, we want more things. And more things only make us more of what we are. They don't change us. The blessing that Jacob wanted was to be changed, not just in his appearance, not just in his word, but in his heart. Sisters and brothers, when some of us look at our own lives, there's some things that we have done that we wouldn't even repeat if we knew nobody was going to hear. Because we're ashamed of them. And we are human. We earn, we strain, we have some thoughts that come upon us, and we entertain some thoughts, and we go into them. But there comes a point at which we face ourselves and determine, am I going to stay this way, or am I going to change? Jacob came to a point, and he said, God, no more. I will not let you go until, he says bless me, but it's really until you change me. And that's why the angel asked him, so what is your name? And he said, I'm Jacob. In other words, he says, tell me about your character. And he said, I'm a schemer. And the angel said to him, since you admit that you have issues, since you can face yourself and say, I have a problem, then I can say to you, you're no longer Jacob, but you're now Israel. You are a changed man. Not in your hairdo, not in your facial appearance, not because you lose 15 pounds, but you're a changed man because you have a new heart. I'm saying to us this morning, my sisters and brothers, we are pursuing unity. If as a family of Lebanon Moravian Church and your own individual families, you're pursuing unity, sometimes what we need is a change of heart. But you know what our thing is? The reason why me and them fall out is because them have one problem, not me. I'm okay. Me, all right. And that we easily see the mote that is in somebody else's eye. We easily see the fact that they are the ones who are at fault. And we don't always see ourselves. But God calls us in this season to say, listen, you're not responsible for anybody else. You're only responsible for yourself. David said, create in me a clean heart. I can't pray that for you. You got to pray that for yourself. God, I need a new heart. And it's not a new heart that I can get by a 12-step program. It's not something I can do that I can self-medicate, because we have these things nowadays where people think, well, I can help myself, you know, I will just change my ways. But let me tell you something. If you make a decision today that you're going to change your ways, tomorrow somebody come in. If you bad-minded, trust me, somebody come in tomorrow that you feel your back is against the wall. I need to be bad-minded. Because God got to test how serious you are. Sometimes not the devil tempt us. Well, I should say tempt us, not the devil create the situations. God allows them to be created so we can see what is on the inside of us. We just blame this one and that one and everybody else except ourselves. But it comes a point at which we take personal responsibility and determine, I want to be a person who is pursuing unity. And it means I need to dwell together with my brothers and with my sisters. And can I say to you, sisters and brothers, it is not something that we do. It is something that is done by God. You can't clean your heart by yourself. We don't build community, particularly in church, by ourselves. This is something that God does. That is why David would have used those two imageries, you know, the point of talking about the anointing oil. Anointing is always that comes from God. And the dew of Hermon is always God do that. We don't make water. The prerogative is God's. But when we position ourselves, God will work his sovereign purpose out. It therefore means that in our families, in our congregations, wherever else, we got to get a good dose of honesty. We become clean with ourselves. We have to get to the place of saying, listen, I stop sitting down in church and look and say, me not talk to she, and he, me not have nothing to do with he. I need to get to the place where we have fellowship time and I can embrace everybody and shake everybody's hand and don't have a thing to worry about. Because too often in times, we are doing fellowship and people making sure they dart in one direction or somebody run outside, come in the one, this person come back and shake my hand. And at time enough for them things stop. Time enough. We've been around for too long. We've got to get to the place of saying, I want to clear out all my bad stuff. Get all the skeletons out and say, Lord, I stand before you cleaned out. Not that I'm good enough, but I'm trying to get myself in place. Where you are. It's family month. It can't be just that you celebrate your own little family and your little clique. So when we go out as a church, you always with the same people. When we sit, you always with the same people. At time enough, you sit down with some other people. it's time that we widen our circle and say, as a church, we embrace everybody. Wherever the seat is, I will sit there because that's my brother, that's my sister, no matter where I see them. You know, sometimes you pass people in town, and they don't see you. But you see them, and you hope they don't see you for true. Because you, me know why she called me. Those things need to end. They need to stop. That's for the world. That's for people who don't know better. But for those of us who belong to Christ, we know better. Am I suggesting that we will go to people's house and sit down and chat? Let me not talk that. Some people don't want nobody coming in their yard. And you don't want to go to their yard either. But you want to be able to say hello and hi, how are you doing? How are the children in school? And move on. We don't have to wonder. You might say hello, would she answer? And you know, we too old for that. We're not around too long for that. If we're going to build unity, God is saying, you're going to work from the heart. Work from the inside. We need to change this defective heart. We need to get rid of this selfishness, the motives that drove those people to say, I want my name in a headlight. I want this. I want people to notice what I have done. And get to say, no, I want people to notice what God has done. And the most important work that he has done is what he's done in my life. My sisters and brothers, I challenge us. This is Family Month. We're going to talk about unity. We're going to talk about building the body of Christ. We're going to talk about being there with one another. Could we sit down? We went to Walkathon the other day. I just love those things. I love when we go out together and people start laugh and chat. I love those things. But I know some people don't go because they don't want to laugh and chat with nobody. No one of that. But fellowship is an important part of the body of Christ. And if we don't have it, we miss an important element. God wants to change our hearts. He wants to change our hearts. And he can only do it if we open our hearts to him. When we open our hearts, the anointing can flow. When we open our hearts, the dew of Hermon can come down and break up the fallow ground of our hard hearts and bring refreshing growth. It's not something that you are going to do. It's something that God is going to do in you. The scripture says, he who wants friends must show himself friendly. If we're going to build this body, we each must be friendly. We each must have that warmth. When we look around at our relationships, you know, sometimes we have relationships, we don't have anybody who's close to us. We don't have enough friends. People say, I don't have a friend. People too bad. Sometimes, people bad. But could it possibly be that maybe you don't have friends because you bad? That whenever people come close, that the defective heart just pushes them further. And I don't want you to receive this in a condemnatory tone, but to begin to think, unity. What is my part? If there's some defective stuff in me, God, I want you to remove it. I want you to take away the greed. I want you to take away the selfishness. I want you to take away the hidden motives and agenda. God, I want you to take away the sense of wanting my name highlighted, the illusions of grandeur that I walk around with. God, I want you to take those things away so that I am just me, created in your image and likeness, with your anointing oil flowing on my head down to the skirt of my garment, and your dew of Hermon coming upon me to refresh and renew. Some of you may have strained relations around you. You may have people you're not talking to and people who are not talking to you, and your life is stressed by all of those things.
Maybe it's time for you to say, God, I will not let you go until you give me this new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It is not a hurry up thing. It is God moving by his spirit continuously, gradually changing the bitter for the sweet, gradually creating the new, putting you in the press to squeeze out some of those bad ways, putting the situations before you that will cause you to dip below the radar and get bad-minded and greedy and all obtrusive. But you determining, no, that was yesterday. I am no longer Jacob. I'm Israel. Father, as your word has gone forth this morning, as we think of how good and how pleasant it is, we pursue unity. God, help us to know it is not the call of the pastor. It's not the call of some church head. It is Jesus' desire that we be one. It is your desire, God, that we be one, as you and Jesus are one. Send your spirit in our hearts. Send your spirit to renew, to refocus, to do special things in us and for us. Because we belong to you. We thank you, Father. We bless you and we honor you. And as your children hear your word today, Lord, help us to be examining ourselves so that we are part of the solution and not helping to keep the problem alive. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name.